Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. This is Kristen Bry. I'm here today with Melissa Baldoff. Have you listened to Beyonce's new album?
Yes, multiple times.
Multiple times. Favorite song?
I really like Thick.
Okay. I have to go back and remember which one Thick is.
But it's kind of hard to, for me, it was kind of hard to pinpoint like favorites because it's really like the album I think is like such a like cohesive experience, right? Like everything, it flows from song to song to song to song. Like it's not an album you could like listen to on shuffle, right? Like,
yeah.
It, and I really like that. So yeah, I would say that's probably my favorite, but I have very much enjoyed the album as a whole.
Yeah, I kept trying to sit down and listen to the whole thing. And then because of, you know, ADHD stuff, I would start doing something else. So I feel like I haven't sat down and given it like the attention. And I'm also just not a music critic. So Who cares what I really think? But I would say I like the single that got released. I've listened to that song maybe at least once a day since it came out. The Summer Renaissance song that came out, I really like. And like what I like, what I think is so impressive about Beyonce, because I was never really in the, you know, Destiny's Child was good. I think their debut really, when they hit the charts, I was in middle school. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of my girlfriends had their poster on the wall and Bills, Bills, Bills and like all that stuff. And I liked them. And then when she went solo, it was like, you know, she has so many hits. Mm-hmm. And it was fine. Like, she was, like, a pop star. And she was really talented. And she could really sing. And she could really dance. But, the music hadn't really, like, hadn't been, like, a diehard. And then when Beyonce came out. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, the surprise album. And everyone went nuts. And there were so many songs on that album that I was like, oh. Like, the song Jealous on that album, I still sing. And I'm like, oh, my God. This, like, hits me hard. And then when Lemonade came out.
Ugh. Yes.
And I feel like everything kind of since Beyonce, that is, everything she does is so much more than just a song. Like, it is so visually, there's a whole concept behind it. Mm-hmm. Like, the perfectionism of down to the costumes, to, like, her Netflix, when she did the Coachella and the Homecoming thing where she had an entire marching band that was all, you know, black musicians and the entire, like, all of it. Like, she's so detailed and specific. It's just, like, it's unbelievable to watch.
Yeah, she's very intentional. And I think one of the things I really appreciate about this album is, to me, and again, like, I'm not a music critic either, and, like, I'm no expert, and I certainly don't know Beyonce, although I absolutely
personally
wish I did. but it just seems like she's really having fun with this. Like, it seems, I think there's a lot of joy in this album. And I think that she, you know, really kind of did what she wanted to do creatively. And I think she's been, you know, like, very intentional about how she approaches things and, you know, made, you know, she, how important was it for so many people when she made Lemonade, which is just so, you know, unapologetically black and like gave a voice to so many women, and, you know, especially women of color. And, you know,
and also
now,
women who had gone through being cheated on and like the entire grief stages of that, like that was unbelievable.
Yeah, that was Freedom from that album was definitely a song I needed. I was like going through a divorce from my first husband, and that album spoke to me too. And you know, I think now you see this album is just like very unapologetically queer, and I think that's important too, to see music that has, you know, and styles that have historically maybe been on the margins are being elevated. And it seems to me that she is somebody who always tries to, it seems like she tries to give credit where it should, where it's due. And I think that's great as an artist. to be able to do that.
Because it's basically what, at least I read the New York Times, and it was like, it's the whole thing is steeped in dance music. And like the history of that and the different iterations mm-hmm. and the subgenres within dance music and different regions versus like Chicago versus the South and New Orleans and stuff and how that shifts, which I think that's even cool because I think so often when you're not Beyonce, it seems like certain artists get pigeonholed by their labels of like, this is what you have to do. Mm-hmm. And it has to sound like this, blah, blah, blah. And like Beyonce doesn't have to apply by those rules and she kind of do what she
right.
wants.
I mean, she's been around for what, you know, 25 yeah. or so years, and it is still, when she drops an album, it is a cultural moment.
Which is funny because my friend Corey Joe, who was on here last week, not a fan of the album, okay. and this is what she said. Said, I think this Beyonce album is a dare. Beyonce's friends said, we bet you can't make a horrible album with a couple decent singles and it still go number one. Then Bey was like, watch this in her Usher voice.
Right. Watch this.
And so Corey Joe, not a fan. I like it. I definitely will like listen to it more. But more of the controversy that has come out mm-hmm. since it dropped Friday.
Yep.
Which was the same word and the same controversy that actually happened with Lizzo,
yes,
not even like a month ago,
mm-hmm.
is that they both in singles used the word spaz,
mm-hmm.
which I, before the Lizzo thing happened, did not know was considered a ableist slur mm-hmm. against people who have cerebral palsy.
Right.
And I think in America lingo, it's not really used like that mm-hmm. in the same way in the UK and Australia. This is what I learned through the Lizzo thing.
Right.
But similar to Lizzo, both Lizzo and Beyonce have taken out the word mm-hmm. from their songs, which I don't really know how much more you can ask from
yeah,
an artist.
I agree. And I think they both, you know, were very sincere in how they approached it. And like you said, it's not, I believe, as common. I was not familiar with that being an ableist slur. But
I've heard don't be a spaz
right.
before. And I think I always assumed that came, I don't know, in the same way, like don't be a,
like the R word.
But I think I always knew that from a young age, like the R word was maybe that's because I have an uncle who has Down syndrome.
Right.
Like that was more, even though it used to be more accepted, like you didn't get in trouble for saying it.
But you knew it was bad.
You kind of knew it was bad.
Right.
Versus spaz to me had always been like you're just being
like I almost see it as like more like goofy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I never knew mm-hmm. until last month that it was considered that. And so I think it was very responsible for them to say, I didn't know, I took it out. But then for the fans who keep coming back and being like, that's not enough.
Well, so here's my other thing with it. I do think that, like I said, I think that they were both accountable and they were sincere in how they approached it. And like you said, it's responsible. But I worry that it seems that so often we are holding Black women to a different and higher standard. And I don't want that to be the case. I certainly don't want people to be out there perpetuating ableist slurs and, you know, making life harder and more uncomfortable and, you know, upsetting for people who have disabilities. But like I said, I don't want to see Black women held to this higher standard when it comes to their art.
I agree. Yeah, I totally agree. I didn't know you were going to say that, but I'm trying to, now my brain is going and trying to think of situations where there's been a double standard, because I feel like they both handled it very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that there's plenty of examples where artists did not handle, no matter whether they were male, whatever race they were, whatever, just have been like, no, it's staying.
Right.
I feel like Eminem would be like, have no problem. Be like, no, that word is staying. And
right.
And everyone would just have to deal with it. And so, I don't know. Like, I think, I don't know. I think that, especially because it's like, how much grace do you give to artists who have spent so much time on an album and then you focus on one word, like how, for one, you know, these are people, these are two artists who are pretty much the top of their game. Lizzo's obviously a little bit more recent than Beyonce, but I have a feeling her talent level, she's not going anywhere for a while. But the expectations we put on artists to be perfect, I don't think it's helpful, because like you said, like there's so much voice and representation that they, especially these two, do provide, that it's how high of a standard do you need to keep everybody in order to like not, I don't want to use this word.
They get to learn too, right? And I think it's how you handle something like that says a lot about who you are. And the fact that they handled it very graciously and listened to the people who voiced concerns, I think says a lot about who they are. You know, would it be problematic if like the next three albums they both drop have the same word in it? Yeah, that would probably not be great. But I feel like you got to give people a little bit of grace and let them learn sometimes.
I also, there was a part of me that wondered if Beyonce last month listened to Lizzo's album and like had any idea of what was going on, and in her mind she was like, crap, like you know, I'm like, oh, maybe I'll get away with it. And so it was just kind of like, well, we're gonna keep it in there and see how it goes,
right?
Because that wasn't a, I mean, Trevor Noah was talking about it on Daily Show, and so it was kind of a big deal. But like you said, now we've all learned something. That is a word that shouldn't be used casually. And so I know that I will, not that it was really in my vernacular in the first place, but now we know. All right. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about you, how you got to Wisconsin and what you have taken on and what you will always be Florida proud about.
Sounds good.
All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.